you are now. Okay. It's a Psalm of David. And here we see this particular song written by the warrior king, David. David was the shepherd king, but we also need to realize that he was a great soldier. He was a great military leader. And if you ever have the opportunity, I hope you have already, but you know, reading in the history sections of the book, in 1 Samuel through Chronicles, and read some of the exploits of David's mighty men, it almost seems, you know, impossible what they did. But we have to remember that they were filled with the Spirit of God at the time. So the Jewish Study Bible states concerning this psalm, Psalm 144, it's a royal psalm, perhaps recited on the eve of battle by a king who lived after David and who looks to him and other Judean kings as precedents of kings who were saved from danger by God. Can you imagine the leader of the military reading scripture before they go into battle? You know, I know there were some in our own country. I know there have been saved military people, and I know that if you study the sad history of the Civil War, that many of the generals were believing people. And you can say, how can you be involved in war and be a believer? That's a story for another time. But this psalm is obviously a psalm of David, not only because of its title, but even if we had no title, we would know that this would be a psalm of David. And because also we find similar expressions in this psalm than we find in Psalm 18. Just a couple of words to understand before we begin to look at it. In verse 7 and 11, you'll see the phrase strange children. And that phrase strange there, that word strange, it means foreign. So these were foreigners who were invading the land. And garners. In verse 13, we don't use that word too often anymore, but it's like a granary, okay? It's like a granary. So the psalm outlines, Psalm 144, the psalm outlines verses 1 to 2, praise to God for who he is. David will praise God for who he is. Verses 3 to 4, the brevity of life and how short and quickly life goes. Verses 5 to 8, a prayer for deliverance. Verses 9 to 11, we will see a new song. And then verses 12 to 15, a prayer for blessing. That should be prayer, not a pray for blessing. But I guess my fingers weren't fast enough for my brain. So notice the first stanza with me, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 144, a psalm of David. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. So David here praises God for who he is, and he bursts out in praise to God, who is the protection and the one who teaches him to war and fight. He names 9 things which God is to him. He is his strength. He is his teacher. His goodness. His fortress. His high tower. His deliverer. His shield. His trust. And his subduer. So think about these things. All these things that God is. And can you say that of God? So look at those two verses, and let's be a little interactive here. How is God like this to you? Pick something, strength or goodness or whatever, and share with us. How has God shown himself that way to you? Anybody? Not too interactive? You want to go home?
Definitely shielded our church.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Anyone else have anything? Paul Joe? Right. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Andrew, did I see your hand back there?
Yeah. So you were.
Yep. Subdues those thoughts and brings them captive to Christ. Lori. Okay. Mm-hmm. Amen. Good. Sandy? Good. Good. Barb? Amen. High tower, high place, safe place. Very good. Okay. All right. So, you know, a lot of times when you see these things in Scripture, which are, you know, some of God's attributes and qualities and what He's like, think about that. Meditate about on that in your own life. How is He like that to me? How do I see a hand back there? JR. Sorry, bud. You got to speak up when you're in the back row, you back row Baptist, you know, so. All right. Amen. 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 That wasn't a hand? Oh, that was fix your glasses. Remember, this could be an auction. You could have just bought that. But anyway, verses 3 to 4. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him? Or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are a shadow that passes away. So in this second stanza, David realizes the brevity of life. I think I've shared this with you before. I remember being a very young man and just complaining to my grandfather how time is dragging. And he said, just wait. The older you get, the faster time goes. Ask Bill Joseph, he knows. But you know, but the older you get, the faster time goes. And how short life is. You know, here I am at my age, and I remember like it was yesterday bringing my boys home from the hospital when they were born, you know. And time just flies. And life is short. And as a warrior, David had seen many people's lives end in battle. He realized how short life was and how, you know, like a vapor. I think about Saul and Jonathan, you know. Both of them really, you know, cut down in their prime. But he also marvels that God would take account of man at all. And who man who is like vanity and a passing shadow. And that this passage is also quoted by Paul in Hebrews 2:6. So, you know, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And friends, one of the things that our world is teaching us is that man is not the crowning creation. You know, it's all about the earth. It's all about nature. Do you realize that there is teaching out there by people who say the world would be better off without man? You know, and want to see the extinction of man? Isn't that the most foolish thing you ever heard? That means you too, who's sharing this with us, buddy. You know, you ever think about that? You know, but we are, God is mindful of us. How mindful is he of us? He loved us so much he sent his son to die for us. And then when we become his children, he's mindful of us. Wherever we are, in whatever battle we are in. Don't forget that. Verses 5 to 8, a prayer for deliverance. Verse 5, bow the heavens, O Lord. Come down, touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thy hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters and the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. So here David prays a prayer for deliverance, and he knows his life is vanity. He knows his life is like a shadow, verses 3 to 4. But God is his great source of strength, verses 1 and 2. So he prays for deliverance. He asks God to use his arsenal against his enemies. What are his arsenal? First off, his presence, his touch, his lightning, his arrows, his hand. Why? That he might be delivered from foreign invaders. I'm reading through the historical narrative of the Old Testament, in particular, the time of the kings. So Samuel through Chronicles. And I was just reading after Assyria came and took the northern kingdom of Israel. Sennacherib came and he was camped there against Judah. And God told the king, don't worry, I'm going to put a hook in his nose and send him back. Isn't that great? Isn't that great imagery there? Send him back to his land. And when Sennacherib woke up in the morning, all his men were dead. And Israel didn't raise a single arrow toward them. And he went back home and his own children killed him as he worshipped in his false god's temple. But I'm going to put a hook in. I just love that imagery. Let God get involved and fight our battles for us. Verses 9 through 11, a new song. It says, I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. So David sings a new song. And there is hope. And David knew that. He knows that God will deliver him from the foreigners that are invading. Oh, to have faith and pray for deliverance and then praise God for the deliverance that will come in the same prayer. David is praying to God for deliverance, and before he ends his prayer, he's praising him for the deliverance that'll come. That's faith. That's how we have to pray. Lord, I need your help in this, and I'm going to praise you right now for the help that I know will come, and you will deliver me from said problem. But you know, a lot of times, you know, Lord, if you want to, if you will, claim the victory, friends. Ask, seek, knock. And praise God for it. And then the fifth and final stanza, a prayer for blessing. Notice verse 12 on. That our sons may be plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners or granaries may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. So David prays a prayer asking God's blessing upon his people here, his nation. The intervention by God has already taken place. The deliverer has come from heaven. And now Israel receives the promised earthly blessing. Their children are planted and grounded in their land. So think about this. Why did enemies invade Israel at the time? They wanted to disperse them. What are the Palestinians and Iranians saying today of Israel? We want to drive them into the sea. So David prays, may our children be planted. May they be like cornerstones. May they have a permanent place in this land. And let there be plenty of grain. Let their herds be multiplied. May they multiply and be strong. May there be no complaining in the streets, because all our earthly needs are being supplied. And being supplied by who? By God. Blessedness has come to David's people, and happiness is pronounced upon them. For their God is Jehovah. He himself is in the midst of his people. Isn't that great? I mean, David can look, and there at the time in the tabernacle would have been the Shekinah glory. But you know, God dwells in each one of us. And he's with us. He's in the midst of us right now. So today, we're going to break up here in a minute. We're going to go to prayer. And I want for us to ask the Lord to teach us to war. Now, probably, if you look at verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 144, the New Testament companion passage would be Ephesians 6, 10 to 18, the whole armor of God. Why do we need to put on the whole armor of God? That we may be able to stand. Because why? We don't fight against flesh and blood, but we fight against principalities and powers. How do you beat flesh and blood? With greater strength. But the enemy that we fight is a spiritual fight. It's a spiritual warfare. When we go, as J.R. said, when we go door to door, we share the gospel with people. We are invading the devil's territory. And we need the whole armor of God that we can stand. So tonight, ask the Lord to teach us to be, tonight, I said tonight, didn't I? Today, as we pray, it's going to be a long prayer meeting. Today, as we pray, let's pray that the Lord would teach us to war. And may we thank him for who he is. And how he delivers us. And may we thank him for his presence and his provision. Remember, teach us to pray. In your group of two or three adults, make sure you have a child, a young person. And let's teach them to pray. And that'll be a great blessing. Okay, so break up into groups. And when you hear the piano playing, we'll wrap that up.